Galatians chapter 6. I want to talk to you about the harvest. Been driving to Toledo, actually riding with Kelvin, and you notice the corn you know, on some of these back roads, and it is just beautiful. I mean, it is tall and looking good, and I noticed we used to say in Indiana, knee-high by the 4th of July, and it is, you know, I don't know if that's true in Michigan, but I mean, that corn is just, it is huge, and it made me think about the harvest. And I always think about Galatians 6 and think about the harvest, and I want to talk to you about that. It's interesting, in verse 11, Paul says, "You see how large a letter I have written." He's not talking about how many pages. He's talking about the letter that he wrote. It was a large letter. He obviously had some eye problems himself. I was looking at my notes and how large a letter, and I guess I do that because of my sight. But Paul also had some sort of eye problems, and he had to write very, very large so that he could see it. And I guess they make trifocals. How many of you, does anyone wear trifocals? Several people do, all right? I cannot imagine that. I've had bifocals, and I can't imagine trying to get through three different, but people do, and I may have to do that. But anyway, Galatians 6, 7 through 10, it's a familiar passage. We've heard this certainly referred to many times. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want you to understand, though, that this verse doesn't, we always look at it in the negative sense. And certainly I will look at that today because there is a negative connotation. But we often, you know, we look at it, well, if you sow bad things, it's going to be bad for you. That's true. But do you know it also works that if you sow good things, there's going to be good things come out of that. And I mean, certainly when we talk about farming and we talk about crops and all that, we're not looking for bad things. We're sowing good things. We sow the seeds of vegetables that we want and that we like, or that the wife tells us to. And we sow those kind of seeds because we want a good crop to come out of that. We want something we can sell, or we want something we can use. We are not looking at sowing bad things to get bad out of it, but certainly in our lives, that is what happens. And so that's why I believe God gave us this passage. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, we do love you and we thank you that we can gather. Lord, it's a good crowd and folks are tired. I know Brother Chase has worked hard and many, many others have just had a busy, busy week. Help us to be attentive now to, Lord, a lot of seed was sown this week and a lot of work was done. A lot of good things were done. And we look forward to seeing the result of that in the future. And maybe not here on this earth, but Lord, we'll see the result in heaven, certainly. And Lord, help us to realize that and help us to sow good seed. And Lord, help us to realize when we sow a bad seed that bad results are going to come out of it. And so I just pray you'll speak to our hearts now. If there's anyone here that is not saved, please, God, I pray you'll save them today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's true whether it's a small garden or if it's many, many acres, there's five truths about the harvest that are always going to be. And it's always going to take place. And I'm not a farmer. My grandpa was a farmer. I've pastored many farmers in the past and learned a few things. But really, these are basic truths we all know. I mean, anybody that maybe you were in elementary school and the teacher was going through that section in maybe science and you planted that little seed in the dirt and you watched every day, you know, to see if it was going to grow. And finally, boy, sure enough, there was that little sprout that came up and you watched that thing grow. I mean, these are all basic things that are going to be true. And again, whether it's acres and acres of land and some of the fields that we drive by on the way to Toledo and the beautiful crops that are there, or whether it's just a little garden that somebody has, maybe a flower pot or something, these things are true and they're always going to be true. A harvest is a result. A harvest is a result. It's a result of whatever you did in the spring and along the way, that harvest will be reflected. Obviously, it could be affected by rain, and it could be affected by hail, and it could be affected by other kinds of storms and different things. But you know, the harvest is a result of of what you did before in the planting and the preparation and everything of the crop. And, you know, the harvest, you get to see that result. Before it all starts, you plan for the result. This is what I'd like to see happen. By the way, that's one of the main reasons why I believe this passage is in here. Be not deceived. Because honestly, if you were to plan your life, okay, if everybody was to plan their, I mean, nobody would plan to go to jail. You just don't do that. You don't look ahead, and I don't think we have any teenagers here this morning that would say, you know what, I was mapping out the plans for my life, and I put in there prison by 20. I don't think anybody's doing that. I don't think you plan that. I don't think you plan on losing all your money. Nobody is, that is not what we're after. You know, you say, well, you know, I can't wait to grow up and be totally broke. You don't plan that. And again, be not deceived, because the truth is, there are people all over this room who are making plans that are going to ruin you. All over this room, not just teenagers, there are adults in this room, you got plans all set, and it is going to be the undoing of you. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. And the truth of the matter is, if we could all go to that harvest and see what's coming up, well, that'd make everything easy, wouldn't it? Well, truth is, if you plant corn, corn's going to grow. And if you plant beans, beans are going to grow. And if you plant of the flesh is going to grow. And if you plant of the Spirit's going to grow. If you plant bad, bad will be the result. If you plant good, good will be the result. It is that simple. Be not deceived. And if, again, these results can be good, they can be bad, it all depends what you plant. And I'm telling you, God starts it off very clearly. Don't deceive yourself. If you plant beans, you're not going to get corn. Yeah. Right. I don't care how hard you want it. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care if you go out and water it. I don't care if you weed it every day. If you plant beans, you'll never get corn. It just isn't going to happen. And we somehow have this idea, as Christians, we have this idea we can live like the devil all our lives, or we can start out as a kid and hope everything's going to work out in the end. It isn't going to do it. It cannot happen. And young people, you know, you look at us like, oh, you know, the pastor, he doesn't understand me. He understands the harvest. You say, my parents, they just don't get it. No, they get it. They've seen the harvest. I remember one old farmer, he used to say this. He used to say, I'm just watching the corn grow. You know, what's he say? He said, I'm waiting on the harvest. You know, in other words, what do you think of this? Well, I don't know yet. I'm waiting until the harvest. I'll tell you once the harvest takes place. You know, that's how you know what your life has been. That's how you know how your school year has been. That's how you know how your ministry's been. That's how Brother Chase is, I mean, he's got records for this week of the fair. And I guarantee Brother Chase, he's seen the harvest now. Today, you know, yesterday, that's harvest day. That's when you got all the results, you write it all down. All right, here's what we did. And I guarantee Brother Chase is planning next year's harvest. Amen. Amen. This is all introduction. I'm getting there. See, if you want a good harvest, you better plant good things. If you want corn, you better plant corn. If you want poison ivy, then that's what you get. Five truths I want to give you about the harvest, and they're true spiritually as well as physically. Number one, we reap what has been planted. That's so true. It's so easy to understand. And yet, God had to start it off in verse 7 with be not deceived. Because we are deceived. Now, I planted beans, but I'm totally, totally planning on corn at harvest time. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. You can't even, that's what many of you are planning on. I mean, somehow we think, and it happens, it often happens with teenagers. Because, I mean, you're in spring planting right now. And you know, we somehow have this idea. I guarantee there are teenagers that think they're going to marry just anybody and end up with a happy marriage. It doesn't work that way. You're trying to plant beans and get a harvest of corn, and it isn't going to happen. We have this idea that somehow we're going to change this law and this rule. If you plant a seed of corn, corn's going to grow. Period. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Notice chapter 5 and verse 19. By the way, he says here, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Notice what it says in chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Do you know nothing good has ever come out of adultery? Never has. So if there's adultery in your heart, if there's adultery in your plan, it cannot end up good. It is not going to end up good. You are deceived. You think you'll sow something and reap something else. It cannot turn out good. It won't. Hello? Fornication cannot turn out good. You know, you're a young person. You say, well, I just want to have a good time. It is not a good time. It will not turn out good. There will be problems. There will be heartache. There will be pain. There will probably be disease. There will be all kinds of ramifications. You're not going to plant that seed and it turn out good. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, these are all sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. By the way, witchcraft, you know, young people, you think, adults, you think, I can mess with this, I can do the Ouija boards, I can do the seances, I can mess with rock music and rap and all these satanic symbols. I can do it, I can still serve God. It ain't going to work out for you. You're not going to sow these things and it turn out right. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. All these things, these are the works of the flesh. When they're manifested, this is how they manifest themselves. And God even goes on and says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the way lost people live. Now, it's all within every one of us. But you don't have to sow it. I mean, it's a temptation. These things, these pull on us throughout the week, but we don't have to do it. It's part of us. It's a work of the flesh. I'm flesh. You're flesh. But hey, you say, okay, I got some seed to plant, and I could plant these things, or I could come over here and plant these things. What are you going to plant? And I'm telling you, if you plant these things, you will reap corruption, God said. You will reap death. You will reap corruption. There's nothing good out of it. Nothing. But he says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's living things. That's not corruption. That's not putrefaction. That's not mortification. That's not death. That is life. And that is abundant life. You can plant those kinds of seeds. And something that will last into all eternity. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe on Sunday night. And talked about all of our works as a Christian being put in the fire. And it's sad how many lives. Much of what you did is going to go up in smoke. But you can plant all kinds of seed. Just like what all happened at the fair. And you handed out Kool-Aid, and you handed out flyers, and you told people about Jesus, and you worked in the booth at RU, and you handed out flyers. And all that work that you did, listen to me, gold, silver, precious stone, and you plant that thing, and I'm going to tell you, that's going to live, and that'll live all eternity. Oh yeah. But you know, so much of what we do is of the flesh, and it rots. It rots. But that law is always true. We reap what has been planted. You're not going to reap something that you didn't plant. And you're not going to change this law. Farmer, for example, the farmer plants beans when the price is high. But midway through the season, the price on beans goes down and the price on corn goes up. And he says, I got to change this thing. It doesn't work. You're not going to change it. You're not going to change it. You know who always, I promise you, who always wants to change what they planted? Go visit people in jail. Hello. Now, I know some of you say, preacher, I've heard it all. Okay, then you need to listen. Because you're about to plant some seed that's going to ruin your life. Brother Johns, you're in jail all the time. Just not quite long enough. But you're in jail all the time. How many times do you hear the words, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Every time you go, right? Every time you go. What are they saying? I wish I wouldn't have planted that. Huh? But you can't change it. Do you understand? A guy gets saved in jail, he still has to serve his sentence. I've got letters from a fellow that I've been writing back and forth to, a fellow that is going to be in jail till he's in his 80s. He'll be in prison till he's in his 80s. Just one day. That's all, one day. But it's what he planted. You say, preacher, you're mean. You know, you shouldn't preach. Listen, I'm the nice guy. I'm trying to help your crop. I'm trying to help your harvest. That matters more than what feels good for that one day. You're looking for one little 5-minute period. You're looking for one little thrill. You're looking for one little joyful thing that might last a day. I'm talking about something that'll either last into eternity or it'll rot. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to help you. Some fella is promiscuous and gets involved in sexual activity and gets AIDS, but he gets saved after that and wants to live for God. But guess what? The AIDS doesn't just go away. That's what's so sad. And young people, you have your whole future ahead of you, and I'm just saying, you need to understand that you reap what you planted. That's what's going to come up in the harvest. And it always does. It always does. But see, the good thing, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. All these things you could reap sowing that. Number one, we reap what has been planted. Number two, we reap in a different season than we plant. And here's where we get in trouble all the time. We reap in a different season than we plant. All the times I've heard someone say, I won't get caught. I have heard those words. There's somebody I'm praying for right now that just not long ago gave those kinds of words to me. I'll be able to get away with it. You don't get away with it. You never get away with it. We reap in a different season than we plant. That's why our decisions today make the future. They make tomorrow. It's the harvest. That's the harvest. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The farmer has to have a vision of the harvest before he's going to go out there and plant. I mean, he looks out at a barren field, or worse yet, a field with all these the weeds and everything else, and he's got to go till that up and plant, and he's got to invest in all of that because he's not looking at today. He's looking at the harvest. We had Brother Waters and Brother Chase did some landscaping in the front of our house, and they ended up covering in an area of dirt, and it was just a bare patch of dirt about that wide and about maybe a little longer than that, and we were staring at that for a while, the brown dirt and the green grass. And I mean, our yard's not a landscaper's paradise anyway, but it's but I don't like, you know, I don't like just looking at that dirt. And so we went out and got some grass seed and that insulated, whatever it's called, insulation green, whatever, grass seed stuff anyway. And Brenda and I became farmers or landscapers. And we were all excited, busted up the dirt there, you know, and got it all ready and raked it all up. Boy, it was exciting. We put that stuff down and put extra. Amen. And then we looked at it. And guess what? It didn't look a whole lot different. And we watered it. and it just looked wet, not a whole lot different. And we watered it more, and it just looked wet and a whole not much different. But you know what, Brother Hawkins? It wasn't long and stuff started to grow. Now, we had to have a vision. I saw a yard. I saw that all filled in with nice, lush. That doesn't describe my yard very well. But green grass. And I was excited about that. You have to have a vision of the harvest and what's going to happen at the harvest. If I could just get every person in this room today to look at the future. If I could just get you to, you know, and again, we're supposed to live for today, and I understand that. But if I could just get you to look at the future and say, there is going to be a harvest. Whatever I planted, that's what's going to come up. Every year, school starts, and it's coming. Aren't you glad? And I tell young people, and I try to emphasize this, do you understand? The end of school will come. And just for a second, their hearts get excited because I've said end of school. But the beginning, we just say, ugh, I hate school. I don't want to go to school. You know, and we just, you know, all that. And so they, you know, there's goofing off. There's clowning around. There's not getting everything done. But they're not looking at the harvest. I'm going to tell you how I made it through Bible college. I made it through Bible college, first graduation. And I watched people walk across the platform and get their diploma. And in my mind, I saw that day. And that's how you make it. Because I'm telling you, the harvest is worth the work. Parents, you've got, you know, you have the Christian school and the expense, and praise God that you make that sacrifice. But hey, you can't look at today and that planting and the tilling and all that goes in. You have to look at the harvest of someday. Someday, when the harvest comes in. The farmer has a vision. We need to have a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And you know what? Whatever you put into it, and at first, it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Whatever you put into it. That's right. You know, it may be hard. It may be hard to plant the crop. And you say, you know, this season, it's just going to be tough. Ground's hard, and it's going to be tough. And you know, I may skip it. Guess what? If you skip it, there is no harvest. You better get a vision for the harvest. And you know, right now, it might be hard to be faithful. But I got news for you. Someday, you are going to be so glad that you were faithful. Amen. This last week was tough for those in the fair. I know, Kathy, it was tough. This is a thing you do, though. This is your... How many did you see saved? 84. Amen. A little down. I say a little down, but that's all right. I know it. God bless you. I don't know how she did it, because I know what her schedule was. I have no idea how she did it. But I'm going to tell you something. You say, oh, that had to be hard. Sure it was. But I guarantee there's a day coming. She's going to be absolutely thrilled she did all that. And folks, honestly, whatever it is, whatever it good, whatever positive, whatever seed that you could put in that is going to be of the Spirit, boy, I'll tell you what, it's worth it. It's worth it. It may be tough, but later it's worth it. And, you know, we reap in a different season than we plant. You want to get involved with immorality. You know what? 9 months later, you'll find out. Oh, and then there's the teenager. Oh, well, so-and-so, she's a teenager. She had a baby. I think that's neat. It's not neat. Nothing neat about it. Not a thing. I say there's not a thing about it that is neat. Not a thing about it that is good. Not a thing about it. Oh, but a little baby, that's wonderful. Oh, but immorality is sin and it's of the flesh and it's not going to work out right. Now, I'm not saying God can't use the little baby someday. God did many times in the Bible. I'm just saying this. You talk about heartache and pain and sorrow and all that goes along with that. You have no idea. You have no idea. Just recently, you hear about people that get caught. Somebody recently got caught after 20 or 30 years. Somebody got caught for murder. Just now, they have a home, they have a family, they have little children that are actually grown up, teenagers, and they just got caught, and now they're going to prison for the rest of their life. you do get caught. Because, but see, we reap in a different season than we plant. Just like I wanted my grass to grow right now. In fact, the next day it was funny. I looked. Now, I knew better, but I did look. Amen. And you know what? Some of you, you commit your sin, you sow to the flesh, and at first it's like, ha, I got away with that. Start looking over your shoulder. Start looking. Go check the ground, because it'll start coming up.
Right.
Oh yeah, because you don't get away with it. It might be later on, you know, people that commit immorality, it might be later on when you're counseling with a preacher before you get married. It might be later on when you're having problems with your marriage. Uh-huh. I got news for you. Your time's coming. Your time's coming. You ever see a bean field with shoots of corn coming up in it? That's your life. You're trying to do good, but some of those old things are starting to sprout up. We bought a house. We lived in a home on Jefferson Street in Burn, Indiana. And I'll never forget, a little old lady had lived there before us. And we moved in. It must have been in the late winter that we moved in, early spring or something. But we moved in and in the house. And all of a sudden, we started noticing all these flowers growing up around, I mean, everywhere. And come to find out, I mean, we had no idea. In the winter, it just looked like a regular yard. But all these, I mean, all around this house, there were every kind of flower. Just not any pattern or anything. Like, they were everywhere around the house. And I'm looking out there, I'm thinking, you know what? That's your life right there. Huh? By the way, it works both ways. It can work in a good way as far as beautiful things coming. Because I didn't know that happened. I didn't know that person got saved when they read that tract. I didn't know that person went to church and got saved and became a preacher. I didn't know all these kind of things. Yeah, it's wonderful. Guess what, though? The crop does eventually come up. Just different season. Different season. Number three, we reap more than we plant. Never fail. You reap more than you plant. That is the idea. Amen? That's the idea. That can work negatively. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And that led to lying and murdering. And they lost a baby. His daughter Tamar was raped. Amnon was murdered by Absalom. And then Absalom rebelled and was killed. We reap more than we plant. That's one of the negative things, you know. So I didn't think it'd be this bad. Oh, let me tell you something. It can be real bad. Do you understand when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he did not stop and say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I know there's going to be a price I'll pay. I don't think he did. I think he just did it. I'm trying to get you to stop.
Amen.
And think. That's all. So some of you fellows that are hooked on pornography, I'm just trying to get you to stop and think. Because right now it's all happening here. But one of these days it's going to happen with your life. And you are going to mess up a lot of people. Just like David did. We reap more than we plant. We really do. That can work in a positive way, and it always does. God's blessing for the little things done. You know, it's impossible to outgive God. Look at Luke 6, verse 38. I love this verse, and it is so true. I've known it to happen. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And you know this verse. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And in my mind, I see a cup, and it's, you take that cup and you dip it down into, let's say, into sugar or something like that, and you shake it down and you press it down, and then you add that much more, and you shake that and push it down, and if you give a cup full, God says, I'm gonna give you back a whole lot more. And I'm gonna give you back that much plus it's shaken, pressed down, shaken again, pressed down, fill that thing up, you'll get back a whole lot more than you gave. You really do. It always happens that way. And he says here, shall men give into your bosom? And you know, it's not always somebody handed you a check for something. Sometimes it's the absence of a bill for something. That works out pretty well too. Amen. I'm just saying we reap more than we plant. And you know, soul winning and giving out tracts and being in a tent ministry and an RU booth and all those kind of things, you have no idea what you've sown. That's an exciting thing about it. You know, you have no idea you hand that tract to somebody. You have no idea when you talk to someone about the Lord. Okay, they may have chewed you up one side and down the other and called you all kinds of names. You don't know what that's doing in their heart. You don't know how God's going to use that. And sometimes, and I'm telling you, later on, you'll be amazed what all happened from that one seed. You know, I think of, and I've given this testimony of the people who witnessed to me as a long-haired hippie, and I told them to get lost. You know, they planted a seed, though. And they're going to have some fruit in heaven. They don't know me now. They haven't heard from me in years. I'm thinking of the one girl that I sat in front of in etymology class, and she handed me a Give Christ Charge of Your Life card way back then. She had a part in my salvation. She has no idea. No idea what's happened to my life. No idea of churches I've pastored and people that have been saved. No idea of our bus ministry. She has a part. See, heaven's going to be a lot of fun. She'll get to find out about that. I'm just saying we reap more than we plant. And whatever good you do, again, it's not, I planted the seed. Isn't that exciting? Planting of the seed's not usually that exciting. The harvest is a lot of fun. You know, farmers, there's a relief that we did it. Kind of like Brother Chase this morning. Hey, we did it! Kind of like Brother Dave after vacation Bible school. Hey, we did it! You know? But it's not the rejoicing of the harvest. That's the real rejoicing. And how much you reap from what you planted. See, it can be positive, it can be negative. Number four, there will be some weeds in a good harvest. There will be some weeds in a good harvest. And that's always true, you know what? There's going to be some weeds. You have a good harvest, there's still some weeds out there. I don't care whose garden, I don't care whose land it is that they're farming, there's going to be some weeds. Jesus, when he talked about that in reference to the church, he likened the church to having wheat and tares, tares being weeds. And he said, you know, it's very interesting. You read that, you say, the disciples said, well, we need to rip out all those weeds. And he said, just let them grow together. It's all right, let them grow together. Because he'll separate them at the harvest. That's like, I get the idea there must be some unsaved people right here in our church. I don't know it. They look just like the wheat. That's up to him to separate. But I think about some weeds in the good harvest. And you know, here you are, you've done right, and you're doing good things, and you're doing spiritual things. And you say, boy, there's some trials. There's some thorns in that. There's some of those nasty big old weeds that you pull them out and the roots look like they go all the way to China, you know. You say, well, there's some bad stuff in there. That's all right because, you know, I think about weeds with the good crop and that good crop has to fight for water. And that good crop has to fight for room. And the good crop has to fight for the minerals, you know. And those weeds, though they're a pain and they're nasty looking, actually, they could kind of strengthen that good crop. You know, trials make us stronger. Weeds in our good harvest, it's going to be a better harvest because of those weeds. You and I are going to do more for Christ because of some weeds in our life by far than we would minus those things. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, the more trials, the more we have to lean on Jesus. And when I am weak, then He is strong. And the more thorns and the more problems and the more difficulties around me, though, you know, I'd rather those weeds not be there. Hey, listen, Jesus said, well, let them grow together. I think he means that'll strengthen me. I think he means that'll help me draw on his strength. And you know, we need to quit focusing on the weeds. Just like he said in the church, we need to not focus on the weeds. We also need to not focus on the trials and difficulties of our life and just do right, looking forward to the harvest. There will be some weeds in a good harvest. Last thing, number five, we can learn from last year's harvest, but we can't change it. Farmers know that to be true. Brother Chase, he's already got everything. You know, he's writing down all these notes and keeping copious notes. And he's got, you know, he's already planning for next year. Brother Dave, we took notes and we write down things about Vacation Bible School, what works, what doesn't, and we write all that down. The truth of the matter is, whatever Brother Chase wrote down that was a negative, that wasn't done maybe the best or wasn't done the most profitable way, do you understand? He can write it down, but there's not a thing he can do about it. 2008, Fair Ministry, it's done. Whatever we wrote down about Vacation Bible School, whatever Brother Dave wrote down and has there that's, you know, this didn't work as well, well, we can't change 2008 Vacation Bible School. But you know what we can do? We can think about 2009. You know, young people, it always comes to the end of the year, school year, and we'll say something like, I could have done better. Okay, you can't now for last year. Nothing you can do about it. We'll have some students have to repeat last year. What a waste, right? I mean, it's a sad thing. And you know, now I got your attention. There are. But then, well, that's a good way to wake parents up. A couple of you just woke up on that one. And I wonder if it's Poindexter. No, but it's Throckmorton. And you look at that report card, I could have done better here, I could have done better here, I could have done better here. Do you know when I went to Bible college, Brother Hawkins, I recognized as I got my records from my high school, which is a public school, I was unsaved most of my career in high school and didn't work very hard. But I looked at all my scores in my high school and I said, I sure could have done better. But there wasn't anything I could do about it. It was already done. But I made the dean's list in college and made honors in college. I couldn't do anything about my high school because it was already over, but I decided I'm going to do something about college. Amen. See, you know, you can learn from last year's harvest, but you can't change it. Once the results are in, there's nothing you can do except for work on this year. You know, it's a new school year coming up, young people. 1 month. For some, less than a month. I knew that would encourage you. There's nothing you can do about last year, but you can do a lot about this year. And that means getting your attitude right, being determined. I'm not going to waste my time. Why waste a year? Why waste your time? I do not understand that. And just because you failed, don't quit. You know? I mean, farmers, you know, well, I'm not going to plant this year because my crop failed last year. No, all the more reason to plant this year. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, you know, some of you started through reading your Bible. Remember? January? You were on fire? Yeah. Now you're how many verses behind? How many chapters behind? Get back in it. Oh, preacher, I'll never catch up. The idea is not necessarily catching up. The idea is read. Amen. Amen. I can't get through it in a year. All right, we'll get through it in a year and a month. Read. Go back. Get back to it. Amen. Well, I told God I'd pray, and I missed a whole bunch of days. Okay, we'll pray. Get back. You can't change that harvest. But you can start planting for the next harvest. Amen. In closing, let me go back to Galatians. And I just want to encourage you with verses 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That's the kind of harvest. Just doing right. I say it over and over and over. You know, what I could say is, preacher, I want a good crop of beans. Plant beans. Amen? Maybe that'll be my new saying from now on. Plant beans. Yeah. Now, very rarely do I have somebody come up and say, I'm hoping to end up in the future with a divorce. I've never had anybody say that to me. I'm talking about somebody who's not married. I've had a few that are married say that. But I've never had anybody, you know, some young person, a teenager, 15, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to getting married and being divorced several times. Okay, what you really want, you want to live happily ever after, right? Uh-huh. Okay, then plant that. Okay, you want beans, plant beans. You want corn, plant corn. And honestly, just really, that's what this says. Just do right. Because these five laws, they're true. They'll always be true. There'll never be a time they're not true. You say, well, I got away with it. You didn't get away with it. You didn't get away with it. Because you know what? Mom didn't see, dad didn't see, preacher didn't see, teacher didn't see, authority didn't see, except for one authority that did see. And he saw. David got away with it for a year. He committed adultery and he committed murder. And he got away with it for a year, didn't he? Oh, yeah, he didn't, did he? Because just because a year went by before the crop came up, he never did get away with it. Because God saw it. God saw it. And when the preacher came to David and said, thou art the man, the crop came up. The crop came up. Some boys on a farm, especially when people have a lot of land, and back in the old days, I don't think you can do this anymore, an animal would die and they just have to go bury the animal out on their property somewhere. Some young boys, their dad told them one time, said the cow had died, said you need to bury the cow. And you need to dig a hole and bury the cow. And so they went out and they dug this hole. And one of the guys said, hey, you know, I'm tired. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be that deep. Come on, you know, we're tired. We don't want to do this. So sure enough, they didn't dig the hole deep like their dad told them to. And they pushed the calf or the cow down in that hole. And just right at the line there. And they covered that thing over with dirt. And dad said, did you dig the hole? Did you bury the cow? Yeah, yeah, it's all done. Well, you know, something happens to animals and creatures like ourselves when we get hot, when we're dead. And that cow started to get hot. And when the cow got hot, he started to bloat. And sure enough, that looked like such a nice, smooth little grave right there. It started to puff up. And you know, those boys had to dig that thing back up and rebury it. And you know what? You say, that had to be kind of nasty. Can you imagine how nasty that really would be? Uh-huh. That's how your life's going to be when it's going to come up. It's going to come up. Be not deceived. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed.